Welcome to TJ Sideways Live, courtesy of RacesOnTheWeb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buckenbarger.
Thank you, Beth, coming to you here live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, we can take your questions tonight on our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, our Facebook page for TJSlideways.com, and also via email, TJ at TJSlideways.com. And my first guest kicking off the show tonight thrilled everyone at the Four Crown and became the 100th different driver to win a USAC feature at Eldora Speedway. And the first thing I have to say to Rico Abreu is congratulations.
Hey, thanks, TJ.
Well, it's great to have you on tonight. First of all, we were just talking off the air before the show. I think that midget race at the Four Crown is probably the best race I've seen since last year's Four Crown midget race. And you and Christopher Bell exchanging slide jobs for all those laps and not really, as we say, using each other up. You guys were hitting each other so hard and clean. That was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it sure was. What was really cool about it is how we're teammates. You know, how we drive under the same stable and, you know, with Keith Coons is that our crew chief and, you know, it's like I said, a really memorable night on how everything played out and, Christopher, how he's, you know, coming up with his career and how I'm coming up through mine and how, you know, we kind of worked our way to the top of the feature that night and, it came down between, you know, who's gonna win. And, you know, I think it really was a close race there, to the lap, I don't know, 23 or 20, well, with one to go when that last slide job he threw on me and it came up short and, you know, I kind of broke his momentum. You know, it was a phenomenal race, but phenomenal job by him and, Like I said, it was just a great race.
And Rico, one thing I wanted to ask you, when he threw that last slider on you and it didn't work, did you pretty much think at that point, okay, as long as I keep this thing out of the fence, I've got it? Or, you know, because obviously you can't see behind you. Did you still?
I actually thought the race was 30 laps. So I knew he was going to come for me again, come, you know, throw some more. You know, there's never a lack of effort from Chris and I was waiting. I knew as long as one of his sliders wasn't short, it was going to be tough for him to beat me as throughout the whole race when I was turning down. I would have had to make a pretty big mistake in order for him to kill my momentum in order for him to get by me and drive away from me. So it tend to go, made every lap count. You know, it got sketched there. A couple of the sliders where I thought if I had to turn down, I'd have hit them. So I waited and waited, and then it was pretty good, but by the both of us.
And this is the first summer that you've come out to the Midwest with not only your midget but the sprint car too. How much did running the Kings Royal help you with running the USAC race at Eldora?
A lot, you know, just with running the Kings Royal and just the wing car there is such a faster pace than the midget. You know, there's a lot more going on and there's a lot of good cars there. So I felt like I had a successful Kings Royal in both features and I qualified well both nights. You know, I ran the midget a lot like I run a wing car, you know, really straight. And I think that helps me when you get on the big tracks. It kills much speed and set back in the corner like you would in the on a small track. On a normal track, on a big track,
Second
guys. Really smart at what he does, and that's he established a midget team over the several years he's been in the sport, and he's really smart about every decision he makes, and he's a crew chief, and he does his job. He leaves the driver to do his job instead of telling the driver how to drive. Keith doesn't do any of that, and Paul is there. There's a lot of similarities between those two, and Paul's a good wing sprint car crew chief. Matter of fact, Paul got to come to the Ford Crown, so he came and watched and hung out with our group, and he was really intrigued. He doesn't see many midget races, and he actually texted me this morning when I was driving to the shop and said that he wants to build a midget, and I got a big old smile on my face because I thought that was pretty cool that he doesn't get too excited about things, and that's one thing he got really excited about. So I thought that was really cool.
Now, last year I saw you hanging out with Casey Kane and stuff in some Midwest sprint car races. This year you brought the sprint car team out here. What was, now that you've gotten back, the sprint car team's gone back home, and you've done that Midwest swing you did through the summer, what's your biggest takeaway from your summer racing in the Midwest?
I didn't win any races when I got my wing car. I wanted, everyone wants to win races, but I expected myself to win some races, but I felt like I raced really well. I had my ups and downs when we were out here, and it was, mostly all the outlaw races, it was all outlaw races that we ran. We ran a few MOA races and some 360 open shows that, I ran checking out every three out of the four nights, and so it was more of an experience for me to get on in a wing car out of California on a lot slicker tracks, a lot bigger tracks. There's no big tracks in California, and there's no tracks that get really, really slick like Lima and Eldora and, the Granite City. So it was a new thing to see for me. It wasn't a new thing to see, but a new experience for me in a wing car. I ran 410 shows and four 360 races. So I ran a lot more 410 racing. I did a lot more 410 racing than I did 360 race, and that's kind of where we're basing my sprint car team is around 410 racing, because that's definitely what where drivers come from is 410 sprint car racing.
And I was looking at some statistics today, and I hadn't really put this all together yet, but so far this year, you've managed to win features at Angel Park, at the Belleville High Banks, and now at Eldora Speedway. That's quite a trio there.
It is.
In one season, man. Go ahead.
Pretty cool to win. I won the prelim night at the Belleville Midget Nationals, and I ran second at the Belleville Midget Nationals, and I led majority of the final night of the Belleville Midget Nationals, and then to get a win at Eldora is really, really prestige at both those tracks, and I could only dream about winning there, and I ended up winning there both in 1 year, so it was really, really cool. There's a lot of drivers out there that haven't won at those places, and I'm very, very thankful for the opportunities that have been given me in order to, to be competitive at all these tracks I go to. Really, really cool.
So the weather's starting to get cold out here, but it's still nice back where you're from in California, and there's the rest of this year, but this is the time of year where we start looking towards next season. So what is in the cards for Rico Abreu for the rest of this year, and where might we see you end up next season?
Well, the rest of this year I got about, I want to say 9 midget races left with between USAC and Turkey Night and the Gold Crown, and then I got probably about 7 or 8 sprint car races. One 410 race, and I got the Trophy Cup and the Fall Nationals this weekend at Chico, and so I got a few races left of both cars. So I'm really excited about the race coming up for the midget and the sprint car. And next year, I haven't really thought about it. I definitely want to run the midget again, and I want to travel more in the wing car. Get out of California and race, on these tracks that are difficult to win at. Any track's difficult to win at, but you get out of California and you get into Ohio and Iowa and Knoxville and Eldora. Those are places I want to succeed at, and I feel in order to succeed there, you got to run there. And I think if I make my schedule next year around that area, I'll be pretty competitive as the year winds down, and I just need laps at these places.
Rico Abreu joining us. So through your Midwest swing with the sprint car, which track did you go to that you adapted to the best, you think, as a driver? And which one maybe kicked your butt a little bit more than you thought it would going in?
Well, this is my third year racing sprint cars, and Knoxville is definitely I've never raced on really a half mile except Calistoga, and it's nowhere near Knoxville or Eldora. So Knoxville and Eldora were really, really up and down for me. I ran good a few times at Knoxville, and I struggled there a few times. So I really want to get back there and improve. And Eldora is, that place is crazy in a wing car, a wing 410 and a midget. But that's somewhere. Eldora and Knoxville are definitely places I want to build off of next year, and I want to succeed and win races there. I want to win everywhere I go, but those are the places I want to focus on the most next year. Definitely making the Knoxville Nationals. So that was my goal this year, and it didn't happen. And next year it's going to be my goal again. I'm not going to give up until I succeed.
So looking further ahead, maybe, where do you want to see yourself in your racing career in 5 years? Where is Rico Abreu hopefully going to be driving 5 years from now?
Wing 410 sprint cars. I'm such a big fan of Wing 410s. I want to succeed in the sprint car world, and I want to be known as one of those great drivers out there, along with all the other ones. And I try not to make big goals. I just go with where life takes you. And I'm not whatever happens. And I just want to win races and be successful.
Rico Abreu joining us. And Rico, personally, for someone in the Midwest, we were really glad to have you out here this season. We're really looking forward to you coming out and having another summer with us here, and wish you best of luck for the rest of the year, and congratulations on that big win Saturday night.
Thank you guys.
All right, Rico Abreu joining us. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to have Shane Stewart on to talk about the big 5,000 to win 360 Sprint Car Show on Tuesday night at Berlin Raceway. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com, and our next guest will be at the Berlin Raceway on Tuesday night. He is your winner of this year's Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, and we jokingly refer to him as the international man of mystery when it comes to sprint car racing. And Shane Stewart, taking time out of a construction site to join us tonight. How's it going, Shane?
Yeah. Construction site, that is about right. I got a lot of stuff going on. I just bought a house and trying to get some stuff done so I can get moved into the thing. And as you can hear in the background, there's hammers and nail guns and all kinds of stuff happening.
Oh, you're an everyman sprint car racer. See, these guys don't just sit around all week. They actually get stuff done. And you've got a lot to get done because you're going to be doing quite a bit of traveling, as you always do. You're coming up here Tuesday night, and this is going to be interesting. We're all going to a racetrack that we've never really been to before.
Yeah, I mean, typically, I don't know why, but I seem to do better when I've never been to a place. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still round and it's still dirt, so we should be able to figure the place out pretty quick. And, you know, I've heard a few rumors of it being rough and you know, being a pavement track originally and then putting dirt on top of it, it's as they kind of found out with Plymouth, you know, it can sometimes throw you for a little bit of a loop because when you water, it's not like watering a normal dirt racetrack. So, I guess a late model race there this last weekend got rained out. And like you said earlier, the weather's been pretty good the last couple of days and it's been sunny. So who knows what we're going to get, but I'm excited to get back in the 3G car. And that thing has been bolt fast for most of the summer.
I was going to say,
and been fun racing with them.
I was going to say, you have good chemistry with that bunch, and you guys are always, it seems like they're always up for trying something different. This year you brought cool chassis over from Australia. How did that deal all come about, and who came up with the idea to go with the cool chassis?
That was Tim's idea. Tim and Cindy from XYZ, they build parts for the cool chassis, and John hasn't had a cool car over here since Kerry Mattson. Ran one like maybe 2000, I'm guessing, but it would have been 2003, 2004 maybe. Won a Knoxville championship running them. And of course their, you know, reputation in Australia is very good. And, John wanted to get a car back over here and Tim worked out a deal with some parts or whatnot, and they shipped the car over here and we were fast right out of the gate and made a few changes to it. You know, the wings and everything are so much different in Australia than they are here. And we moved the wing around a little bit and made a couple other changes, just minor stuff, and it really brought the thing alive. And I crashed one of them during Ohio Speed Week at Lima. And so we flew another one in, and it's as good as the first one. So that says a lot for John and his guys that work hard on his cars. And it's been a pleasure driving that thing. It's a lot longer of a car than I'm used to running, and I'm kind of liking it actually.
Shane Stewart joining us. How weird is it? You go all over the place. You go to Australia almost the entire winter. And then come back to the United States, and you're driving a car from Australia. It's kind of ironic there. But what are your international plans for this upcoming season? Their schedules are starting to come out there, and things are ramping up down there. What's your overseas plans for 2013-2014?
I'm going to be back in the Monty Motorsports number 7. We're going to do World Series again. I'm looking forward to getting back over there. Lee, probably first or second weekend of December, and we'll have about 25 races. I'll get back mid-March, and I enjoy going to Australia. It keeps me in good shape, and the last several years that I've been able to go there, I've been able to make a little bit of money to help me through the winter, and that's always a plus because when we stop racing here typically a sprint car guy don't make any money for 3 months, which is kind of tough. So, Luch and Buzzy and Trace, they all work hard for me. And that car is, and team has got some really good sponsors backing it. And we have a good time as well as racing well. But, I just enjoy going down there and not only racing but I get to skip all the cold, nasty weather here in Indy. So that's a plus too.
And the scenery's not bad either. I mean, you go to some pretty scenic places for racetracks and stuff down there.
Yeah. Everything's coastal. So, you're never that far from the ocean, which being in Indiana and growing up in Oklahoma, we have lakes, not ocean. So, anytime you get to hang out at the ocean and see it, it's a lot of fun and just a change of scenery from a Midwest guy and always have a good time. The people down there are just spectacular and just treat everybody with a lot of goodness and kindness and they always seem to accept us Americans pretty well. So it's always fun. It's a good time.
This was another season for you where you drove for multiple teams, and every car you get in, to your credit, is a good team. I mean, you drive for 3 or 4 excellent race teams. Do you feel that's a better situation than maybe having one team that might be stretched a little thin? And instead, you have 4 teams that might not race as often, but they are ready when they go to the racetrack every time.
Yes and no. I think it's better if you look at it at the scenario that you're talking about. It's tough for me sometimes. I've been with the same group of people for the last couple of years, so it's not really like I'm jumping in new cars that I haven't been in or you know, I'm not working with new people that I haven't had to deal with before. So that part of it's good. The hard part is different engines. You know, every car is just a little different, you know, as far as comfort wise, and, you know, personalities aren't that big of a deal to me, but engines are a massive, you know, part of the equation that people probably don't really think about, but every engine is so unique, so different. And then you got to learn the power curves of them and how to throttle them and, how to gear them. And, you know, that's the toughest part for me. But, you know, I'm blessed. There's no doubt that, I've been able to drive for the group of people that I have the last couple of years. And, things are probably going to be a little different for me next year. I'm not 100% sure, but some things are kind of on my plate here, recently. You know, Joe and Tim and Cindy and the Finley boys. And of course, Paul, everyone knows Paul's cars are fast. And, but yeah, you're right. Everybody that I drive for, they go to the racetrack prepared and capable of winning, you know, an outlaw race or an all-star race or an ASCS race. So that makes it nice for me because, you know, it's hard to jump from ride to ride. And sometimes you might jump into a car that's not as nice as, you know, the 3G or the 57. And I'm pretty lucky when it comes to that. And, you know, a great example, I ran out west with Finley's. 2 days later, I was running Oshwegan with the 3G team during that outlaw race. And then a couple of days later, I'm in the 57 at the 360 Nationals. So, you know, there's no way a team could do that geographically and, you know, without spending a bucket load of money. So my scheduling, is a little bit hectic. But it allows me to race, you know, the amount of races that it takes to do this job for a living. So I'm pretty fortunate.
And as you mentioned, you have quality people and all those rides. Going from it from the other side, we don't need to single anyone out, but you've been in deals probably in the past that probably weren't as prepared to go to the racetrack and maybe were maybe stretched a little thinner to make it through a full season. How is that scenario from the driver's standpoint frustrating going to the racetrack like that?
Oh, it's frustrating. I mean, you know, it is a money sport. It always has been, always will be. You know, they have tried to cut costs a little bit to help the car owner, but, you know, at the end of the day, sprint car racing is a hobby sport for most of the car owners. You know, there's very few people that actually do it for a full-time job. And, you know, I'm blessed to be one of them guys that can do that. You know, anytime you're under budget and you're trying to go race with a group of people that, you know, most of them probably aren't in your situation. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. It's hard to compete with those guys. It's hard to go run with, you know, the KKR clan or the PSR guys. You know, and they have, you know, $1 million budget or over, at least over $500,000 budget every year. You know, the resources that they get are going to be a lot better than the resources you get because you don't have the money to go purchase them or buy them or acquire them. So, you know, if you're going to go run the outlaw deal and you're under budget, it's tough. I mean, I see teams do it every year out there on the road and, you know, it looks like they really start struggling mid-season and later on in the year because they're trying to pinch pennies and just trying to get through the year to get your points on the check. And, yeah, it's hard. It's tough. But people do it. And, you know, they're probably not going to go win an outlaw championship doing it. But, you know, there is people like Chuck Kimmel, a good example. He makes it work. Jason Sides makes it work. It's tough. There's no doubt.
And like you said, you've got all these quality race cars to drive. And when you go to the racetrack, even though they're different teams, I mean, there's probably every one of them you could win every night. And that to me is just a kind of, it's such an unusual scenario, but it's incredible at the same time. There's just that many people that not only have the resources to do it, but have the restraint to not go, hey, let's do 50 shows when you can only run 30 really well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how we approached it. I mean, you know, obviously Finley is a full-time job, you know, dealing with hay. And same thing with Joe and Tim and Cindy. You know, they all have regular jobs, so there's no way that they could go run a 50 or 60 race schedule with the amount of work that they have to do during the week, you know, at their regular jobs. So it just was easy for me, or easier, I should say, for me to go to Finley Farms and say, hey, look, you know, there's 15 to 20 races out west that I would like to run. You're from out west, so let's run those races in your car. You know, there's 30 or 40 races in the Midwest, you know, with Ohio and Indiana and the surrounding states that Tim and Joe are able to make. And they're not gone, you know, 2 or 3 days or 4 days away from their regular business. So, you know, geographically, it makes sense to do what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm just lucky that I can jump in good cars and be able to do my job, because it's hard when you jump in subpar equipment. You know, I mean, when you're racing with guys that have top-notch equipment all the time. So I'm pretty fortunate, for sure.
So you've driven for a lot of people over the years. What's the most unusual side job you ever had to do to keep a ride?
I don't know about unusual. I've never really had to work like regular job with, say, you know, my car owner. I was always, you know, I was brought up to learn how to work on the race cars and know how to put them together. And I'd say that there's probably a lot of times where I've had to work extra hard to try to get a car ready to go because the guy wasn't able to do it because of his regular job, or he just didn't know how. I've done a lot of that, and not so much now, but, you know, growing up and, you know, over the last several years, I've had to work pretty hard at some of my, you know, some of the teams that I've raced with, and I have a little bit of OCD in me, so, you know, I'm always cleaning and trying to make things look nice and professional as much as I can, and but, you know, as far as side jobs, I really haven't had any regular job since high school, so I've been pretty fortunate to be able to race full time and not have to worry about a so-called regular job.
All right, I guess that makes him a full-time racer, Shane Stewart, joining us here on the line. And Shane, you mentioned you might have some different stuff on your plate. Obviously, that stuff's all not ironed out yet, but when do you think that might all come together where we might hear something about that?
Oh, I'm not sure, TJ. I would say in the next month or so. I mean, still got a little bit of time to, you know, decide exactly what I'm going to do. And I have had some opportunities come on my, you know, being presented to me at this present time. And I just got to just sit down and decide on which direction I want to go. And I'm not getting any younger. And, you know, I feel like I still have a good 10 years left in me. And, you know, these decisions and these opportunities don't come around every day. So, it's going to be a big decision for me, whatever I decide to do. And, you know, I feel like it's, you know, another opportunity that's knocking, and I just got to take full advantage of it and go where I think I'm going to be in, you know, the best fit and, see what happens. I'm excited about it. You know, I feel like I work hard at what I do and try to present myself in the right way and do the right things. And, sometimes you think, man, what the heck am I doing wrong? Because nothing's happening. And, then when it does happen, it just reassures you that you're still doing the right thing and see what happens. I mean, I should know what I'm going to be, you know, doing next year and the years to come, in the next month or so.
And one last question kind of around that. How difficult, because of the quality of your current situation, does it make this decision for you?
Difficult, real difficult. You know, and everybody that I race for now wants to keep racing and keep doing what they're doing. And, you know, it's not a bad gig for me. You know, the situation that I'm in isn't bad at all, so... You know, it makes it a lot tougher and you know, just have to really sit down and have a little come to Jesus meeting with myself and decide on, like I said, decide on which direction I want to go. And, just, you know, really thankful for the opportunities, for, you know, the situation that I've been in the last 2 or 3 years, and, you know, being able to race with Paul like we did, and, you know, just I've been pretty lucky with my career to be able to drive for some really, really good car owners, and, you know, just looking forward to the future, and whatever I decide, I mean, I'm in a good situation that, you know, I know I'm going to be able to still do this for a couple of years as far as making a living doing it, and that makes me really happy and blessed.
And you mentioned you probably have 10 good years in you. What happens on year 11? What do you think Shane Stewart ends up doing?
Oh, you know, I would really like to kind of manage a team if the situation was right for me. I mean, I feel like I want to stay in the sport somehow. You know, as long as I can stay healthy, I think I got another good 10 years in me. And, but yeah, I mean, I would like to do some sort of a managing part of it. I mean, I've seen all sides of the racing world and as far as sprint car racing goes, and I think I could help a team out or help a young guy out, and you know, who knows? I could be working at McDonald's or being a sharp shopping cart attendee at Walmart. Who knows? But you know, like I said, I got a few more years left in me, and then when that situation or when that comes around, I'll decide on what the heck I'm going to do then.
That sounds good, Shane Stewart. Join us, and you can see Shane tomorrow night at the Berlin Raceway, a $5,000 to win paycheck dangled out there on a Tuesday night in September. Something every full-time racer wants to see. Definitely.
Yeah.
It gets hard this time of year. There's not as many midweek races, and when there's one, it seems like you guys all seem to converge on it.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, not very many times you get like you said, a $5,000 to win race in the middle of the week, so definitely going to take advantage of it.
Well, Shane, congratulations with everything that you've accomplished this year with the Canadian Nationals win and all your travels, and have safe travels up here to our hometown. We hope you get to enjoy it, and look forward to hearing what's in store for you in the future.
Okay, man. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on your show.
All right. Thanks, Shane. See you tomorrow.
Hey, man. Thanks. All right.
Shane Stewart joining us, and I knew we weren't going to get it out of him. There's still some stuff to be decided, but I mean, how can you not want this guy to drive your car? I mean, he has done just about everything under the sun with ASGS and All Stars and World of Outlaws. He had the World of Outlaw feature up here at I-96 1. I mean, hands down the best car that night, and ran out of fuel. That would have been huge for that team, but a $5,000 to win show tomorrow night. And think about this. I mean, I'm here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's not exactly the sprint car hotbed of the world. It's a pavement light model country. We have a $5,000 to win sprint car race on a Tuesday night. Shane Stewart, Lucas Wolf, all these great drivers are coming in to race here tomorrow night. Needless to say, I am super excited about going up to Berlin tomorrow, probably as excited as I've ever been to go to the Berlin Raceway. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to wrap up the show, tell you about some other things we're going to have going on throughout the week. It's going to be a busy week for TJSlideways.com with the home show tomorrow and some other stuff. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
PJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
From Team Cilantro and the Cilantro Awareness Foundation.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. What a show. Rico Abreu, Shane Stewart, doesn't get much better than that. This is the week we're going to officially try our podcasting. Hopefully it actually goes the way we have planned. We're going to have an interesting interview with Jerry Niemeyer that we did over at the Four Crown. I want to put that together as a separate deal we're going to have after the Berlin race, and we're hopefully going to come with you with some Berlin interviews immediately following the checkered flag Tuesday night to be able to have those for you as well. It'll be a good chance for us to do that with the home game, something we want to do more for you of next year, is more of this kind of stuff. And hopefully can lead to more awesome shows like we had tonight. So Berlin Raceway tomorrow night, and then we're going to try to venture out to Fremont Speedway on Saturday for the World of Outlaws program out there. And following that, the rest of the schedule, probably just Eldora and Kokomo. For me personally, Bob's going to be out. By the way, happy birthday to Mud Clod Bob today, and if you see him on Facebook, make sure to wish him happy birthday. He's going to take a little more aggressive stance because he's retired. He can actually do this. Gas City, Montpelier, Waynesfield is where Bob will be headed off to. So lots of good coverage this weekend coming up on the website. I hope everyone enjoyed everything we did from the Four Crown. We're going to look to grow upon that coverage. We're actually even rearranging some travel plans for next year so we can cover that race better. What a great crowd there last Saturday. I was impressed. It's one of the biggest Four Crown crowds I can remember in some time. And the car count was there. Hats off to USAC for boosting the Silver Crown purse. Maybe we can see a boost in the midget purse a little bit too to get a few more midgets out there. I don't know if it would help, but it'd be nice to see upwards of 24, 25 cars in both those divisions, but it's on the right track. Hopefully it sustains for another year. But we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live and get ready to go to Berlin tomorrow night. And don't forget, if it rains, which it's not supposed to, but if it were to, Wednesday night's the rain date. There's a rain date. It's the middle of the week. It's going to be a great sprint car race to some of the best sprint car drivers in the country, so make sure to check it out. On behalf of all our sponsors, everyone at TJSlideways.com, thank you and good night.